Welcome to William Hill's Rugby Union Podcast. My name is Michael Casey as we look ahead to the final of the event this weekend as well as the third place playoff. I'm delighted to say that joining me for this weekend's podcast, as ever, is former England international prop forward Jeff Probyn. And Jeff, I mean, it's the final that I guess quite a few people would have predicted, if not maybe everyone.
Yeah, sadly I did, and I thought that South Africa would just about manage it, but that two-point defeat last week to New Zealand really, you know, it's pushed them into that third, fourth playoff, and I think that's going to be an exciting game as much as the final. The final's going to be really, really up there as one of the best finals that we've ever had in the World Cup, but this third, fourth playoff is also very, very exciting.
Certainly is, and obviously on the back of some fantastic semi-finals, it was nice to see, I guess, no side really sold themselves short. We saw in the quarter-finals a couple of blowouts, a couple of sides, I wouldn't say disgracing themselves, but probably not hitting the levels they would have wanted to, whereas in the semi-finals we saw two really full-blooded games. Obviously South Africa holding advantage over New Zealand early on before eventually succumbing to the power of the All Blacks, and Australia, you know, whilst it maybe was comfy, there was certainly not on the scoreboard perhaps, there was times when it looked like they could have run away with it, and the Argentinians just kept coming back and kept bringing them into it, and you know they were able to get a lot of line breaks in that second half and really demonstrated the attacking capabilities they have.
They certainly did, and one of the aspects about the Australian game is that New Zealand were watching that and seeing how with a certain laissez-faire the way the Australians played, they threw the ball around a bit wild, a bit game, probably didn't focus as much as they should have. You'd expect them to have put into place the pattern of play that they're going to play in the final. If they play like they did against Argentina in the final, then we've got to expect that New Zealand will win it quite comfortably, because it was, to a certain extent, a fairly lacklustre and loose performance by Australia. But they did enough to win that semi-final against an Argentinian side that have played above expectations. Certainly the way their backs have played has been outstanding. And the fact that the Argentinians realised that the Australian backs had the upper hand and then started playing with that forward power that got them the penalties, that kept Sanchez ticking the ball over, really says a lot about how far Argentina have come on in the past couple of years.
Yeah, it certainly does. A very impressive showing from Los Pumas. I think you mentioned there how that slack play would, if they were as slack against Argentina as they against New Zealand in the final, talking about Australia here, they will be punished. I thought we saw that, and that was quite telling against the South Africans, how they actually, you know, they actually played very, very well early on, South Africa, but even with New Zealand missing penalties, they stayed within range of South Africa. And I thought that was kind of the fact that, you know, the fact they hadn't managed to make that those very, very rare All Black mistakes count probably was what saw them fall short ultimately.
It certainly did. And, you know, also the fact that New Zealand play this relentless style of rugby where they just keep coming, they just keep coming. And the Kano try is a perfect example. New Zealand under Lacoste, they make one break, get one chance. Kano goes in for the try and, you know, suddenly New Zealand are back up there from being right under pressure, really, really feeling the power of the South Africans, to turning the game round and scoring a try. New Zealand always do that. It's something that's very much in their ethos, the way they play their rugby. But it's also something that Australia are very aware of. So, you know, this is why the final is probably going to be the greatest final that we've ever had in the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, I think it's the final a lot of neutrals want to see. Arguably the two sides that play the most entertaining brand of the game, shall we say, on international stage. But for the betting podcast that we are doing, we'll start as you would all good meals, I guess, and we'll go through the starter before the main course. Of course, there is action tomorrow evening, Friday night, from the Olympic Park, as we have the third place playoff. It's the game that, I guess, most teams wouldn't want to be in. Having said that, I suppose if you offered it to Stuart Lancaster in England, they'd be delighted with it at the moment. But there we go. South Africa versus Argentina. I mean, there's quite a few changes to both sides. That's worth bearing in mind from the semi-finals. Daniel Harcade has been forced into 9 changes from a Los Pumas side that is pretty battered now, to be honest. And, I mean, I'm looking down some of the names that are out. No Juan Martin Hernandez, no Agustin Creevy, of course, the captain, no one him off. And it is a bit of a weakened lineup. They're taking on a South Africa side who have only changed two of the starting 15. Victor Matfield comes in for Lou Dejaga. And he's going to take over captaincy from Farida Pries, who and the number 9 jersey is going to be worn by Run Pienaar instead of Rudy Page. So it's still a pretty strong, well, I mean, they're two very strong 15s and indeed 23s, but the starting 15 for the box, not too dissimilar to the one that played last weekend, Jeff.
No, and also it's a box side that have lost to Argentina in the championship, so they are going to be out for blood. It's not going to be pretty. Argentina have, if you like, they've reached the level that they wanted to reach. They probably didn't expect to get into the semi-finals, and getting into the semi-finals is an amazing result for them in their early years, certainly in their first real World Cup, where they've had a professional league back at home and where they've been involved in the championship for the rugby championship long enough to make a difference. They will be overjoyed. Even if they lose tomorrow by 30 or 40 points, they will be overjoyed to have got to that semi-final place and actually to be playing in this third, fourth playoff. South Africa, on the other hand, will be spitting feathers. They will not be happy about it. That's why the South Africans have put out a strong team, haven't brought in the guys who haven't played much rugby. They want to go out of this World Cup with a message that South African rugby has improved, has got the strength, and is not as bad as they seem. And because that loss to Japan at the start of the championship, at the start of the Rugby World Cup, really, really hurt the South Africans, so they're going to want to leave on a high note. I expect this to be a high-scoring game for South Africa.
The handicap's 8 points, Jeff. Are you expecting them to go beyond that?
I expect them to go well beyond that. I expect them to be about 15 points difference.
15 points. We can back on the alternative handicaps. 10 available currently. I'd expect we'll see a few more markets dropping as we get closer to kickoff. But currently, you can back South Africa minus 13 points at 8-5. If you want to be a bit more extravagant, you can go minus 18 at 13-5. You can, of course, look in the winning margins live as well. That 11-15 bracket is 11-2 for South Africa in the 5-point winning margin live, or you can bat them to win by 16-20 points, and that's a 13-2 shot. We do have another of headline offers available for this game, and the top of the bill is South Africa to win, Brian Habana to score a try. He is joint second in the Rugby World Cup try scorers for the 2015 tournament, behind just Julian Saveri. He's got 5 tries in 6 games, the much decorated international Springbok winger. That's for him to score in a South Africa win is 9-4, Jeff. Does Brian Habana or any other player on the field take your eye as a try scorer for the game, Jeff?
Well, I think Brian Habana's got to score a try. I mean, after being sin-binned last week, not really performing that well in this World Cup, not up to his standards, should we say, anyway. This is a game where he will want to go out on a high note, as I say, like the rest of the South African team. If he's given the opportunity, I'm sure that Habana will score. I would put him definitely down as an any times try scorer, along with Peterson as well. I'd see those two as getting the opportunity and scoring a few tries.
Yeah, JP Peterson is a 13-8 shot any time. Brian Habana 6-5, but of course we have got this headline offer, which is an enhanced price South Africa to win and Brian Habana to score a try at 9-4, and I imagine that would take your fancy. Jeff, if I was to push you for an Argentinian scorer, obviously without Juan Imhoff, I guess if we're looking at the guys that have been scoring the points for Argentina, yeah, you really want to be looking at Santiago Cordero. He's a favourite in the market. 3 tries from the 4 games he's played. He's 5-2 to touchdown on Friday evening.
What about Moroni?
Moroni can be backed at 7-2.
I think he's worth a look at, certainly. He's been playing well. He's come through all the games and really showed he's got a talent. He's runs well off of other players to create space. You've got what's his name? Gonzalez.
Gonzalez Amorosini.
That's it, Amorosini. His middle name's Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. The problem with the Argentinians, their names are so long, they print all the name as well, which is, gets you confused. It gets us old prop forwards confused anyway. But Amorini, he good fullback, joined the line well. You know, he's an attacking player. look at him as a possible anytime scorer.
Ambrosini coming back at 9-2 for a touchdown, so a generous price there. And a pretty overwhelming vote of confidence for the Springboks on Friday evening. So now then, let's get stuck into it. It's the World Cup final. It's the game that we've all been waiting for. We might have hoped for some Northern Hemisphere representation. It's not to be, but as I said earlier, ultimately, I believe we've got the two best rugby playing nations, and I don't mean best as in most effective, I think I mean most entertaining, most open, most fluid rugby playing nations in the international world going head to head. It is New Zealand versus Australia at Twickenham, 4 o'clock kickoff on Saturday afternoon. For this, we have got full team news in, no changes for the All Blacks. I'll run you through that side: the back line of Ben Smith, Nehe Milner-Scudder, Conrad Smith, Mar Nonu, Julian Surveyor, Dan Carter, Aaron Smith. Then up front they go with Joe Moody, Dane Coles, Owen Franks, Brodie Retallick, Sam Whitelock, Jerome Kano, Richie McCaw and Kieran Reid. And just one change for Michael Chaker and his Wallabies: a backline Izzy Folau, Adam Ashley Cooper, Tavita Kiridrani, Matt Giteau, Drew Mitchell, Bernard Foley and Will Genia. Up front, Scott Seo, the sole change at loosehead, alongside captain Stephen Moore, Sakopi Kepu, second row Kane Douglas, Rob Simmons, and a back row of Scott Fardy, Michael Hooper and of course David Pocock. You just read out 30 of the most talented names in international rugby there, Jeff. New Zealand are overwhelming favourites for victory at 2-5. Australia are 12-5. The handicap is 6 points. Jeff, how are you calling the World Cup final?
I'm going to go against the bookies. I'm going to say that I think Australia will win. I think Australia, they're beaten New Zealand. They're the only side to beat New Zealand this year. They won the championship down there. Checker, their coach, very smart man, put out a side that took New Zealand, surprised them, beat them in Sydney, then just didn't play the same team again. When they played in the Bledisloe Cup, the next time they faced each other a week later, he put out a totally different team playing a totally different style of rugby. It was as if Checker said, right, we now know how to beat you. I'm not going to give you the chance to play against that team again unless you face them in the World Cup final. And that's exactly what's happened. The New Zealanders are facing the Australian side that beat them. Checker's playing mind games with the New Zealanders, and I think he's done it well. Certainly the back row combination of Pocock and Hooper has devastated this World Cup. They've beaten everyone. They have the best turnover scores. His back line, as much as we respect the New Zealanders, you've got to look at that All Black side and say, wow, look at that. Look at how they're played over a long time. And that could be a key issue. The fact that this is it's a team that's gone over its peak. It's not at its peak. It's just going beyond it. And Australia are probably coming up to theirs. So it's that close. Sio coming in back as a prop is a big, big plus for the Australians. That enables them to have a very solid set piece, which has improved dramatically over the past year. We've seen that. We've seen the way they play. And that Australian backline has scored a lot of tries in this World Cup. You've got to say that, yes, New Zealand have Julian Savage, who's an outstanding player, but the Australians are used to playing against him. They understand where his running lines are, the way he plays. The main talent for the New Zealand side that Australia are going to watch is that old man in the middle, Nono. He's a great player. He's a guy who steps off his thing, brings players to him and creates the open side, outside spaces around him. But, as I say, Australia are used to playing against him. They've got their own powerful runners. They've got a well-established back line that can really play the game of rugby well. When you've got the likes of Drew Mitchell scoring a try, you've got Gitu there and Kiridrani. Kiridrani will be the one who will match and have to deal with Nonu, and that's going to be an interesting collision.
Yeah, it certainly is. So Australia at 12-5, obviously a big price to be had. If you want to play it a little bit more cautiously, you can back them with a 6-point head start at even money. Jeff, I've got to go the other way. I'm sorry. I've been nothing but impressed with the All Blacks. But to be honest, what do I know? I never played internationally for England, so we will see. But +6 Australia there is there at even money. You referenced Julian Surveyor. I would expect to see all sorts of headline offers and special bets about this game as we get closer to kickoff. But at time of recording, we have already got all the try scorer markets available. Of course, Julian Surveyor currently tops the the try-scoring charts. He was the pre-tournament favourite for top tournament try-scorer. He's three clear of the field with eight, which incidentally puts him level on the records of Jonah Lomu in 99 and Brian Habana in 2007. So one try would see him break the most tries in a Rugby World Cup tournament, and to do so he is 7-4. Nehe Milner Scudder, 15-8, second favourite, of course, been very impressive. Five tries for the other All Blacks wing. If you're looking at the Australian side of the line, I mean, there's plenty of prices that should catch your eye here, particularly if you do think there'll be some scores in the game. Adam Ashley Cooper, 5-2 favourite, as he already holds a record for the most tries, test tries, scored against the All Blacks with nine, so got something to look at. Drew Mitchell has scored 14 World Cup career tries already. Again, only Lomu and Brian Habana have more tries than that. So where would you be going for an anytime try scorer, Jeff?
Well, you've got to look at Ashley Cooper after last week. I mean, getting a hat-trick as well in the semi-final, that's one hell of a record. So, yeah, you look at him, you look at Drew Mitchell as well, obviously. And you look at Pocock. Got to say Pocock,
back of the driving line out.
Yeah, that sort of thing, moving the ball well. The Australians are not going to be the walkover. And, you're saying about Surveyor getting that record. Well, Brian Habana could get that record as well, can't he? If he just needs to score a try to get in front of Lomu, doesn't he?
The overall record. That's with Adam Ashley Cooper.
Is there a bet for that with him as well?
Potentially, you would think that perhaps Habana. I know we're mixing the games.
I know we're mixing the games.
But in what might be an more open game, the third place playoff than the final, that could be something to look at. Of course, we put him up as part of the headline offer for the third place playoff. But some of the mentions there then, obviously Adam Ashley Cooper at 5-2, Drew Mitchell 3-1, David Pocock a 4-1 shot to touchdown any time. I know Bernard Foley obviously did so well against England, who just struggled to contain the way he broke to the line, and him to score any time is 7-1. And Mar Nonu, another player he didn't necessarily mention as a try scorer, but perhaps an influential character from midfield, is 100-30 to touch down.
Yeah, I doubt very much if Rob Simmons would be scoring another try, but
well, he'll be there in the betting. Rob Simmons, as you scroll all the way down, he's there at 11-1. He's one of the biggest prices in the book if you fancy to back him to score any time. Jeff, we'll end this with me asking you for a score prediction from the final.
Well, as I say, I think that this is going to be probably one of the best finals we've ever seen in Rugby World Cups, because I expect both sides to score some tries. So, I can see this coming down to a 23-18, 23-20 score to Australia.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.